We're going to have a reading from the Bible now from Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. In the church Bibles, that's on page 1027. You should find a Bible just under the seat in front of you. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they'd been told. I wonder who your favourite character is in the Christmas cast list. Is it the angels? Is it the donkey, maybe? The innkeeper? Wise man number three? I guess lots of us might say the shepherds. And not just because if you get to play one in the Nativity, you get to wear a tea towel on your head. I think we're drawn to the shepherds because they're just so ordinary. The angels are impressive. Mary and Joseph, there's a kind of certain awe about them, isn't there? The kings are both wise and powerful. But the shepherds, well, they're just normal blokes, aren't they? And you know, really, they were a funny bunch to get the first news of Jesus' birth. I heard about a little boy who was given the role of a shepherd in the school nativity play. He wore the tea towel, of course, on the head with the rope tied around. He actually didn't want to be in the play at all, but his mum kind of cajoled him and encouraged him along, and eventually he was willing to take part. Well, at the start of the performance, he was on the stage with the other shepherds, but he kept grimacing and he was scratching his head, and his mum happened to be sat on the front row. She thought he was playing up because, well, he didn't want to be on stage and perhaps he was being irritated by the tea towel. So she whispered to him, "Stop scratching your head." And he, in not such a hushed voice, so the whole audience could hear, said, "I can't help it, I've got nits." The shepherds weren't clean, they weren't well looked after. Think of the unsocial hours they kept, think of danger from bandits or wild animals. Not to mention always smelling like sheep. I expect back in Bethlehem they did have the equivalent of nits, whatever that was. Shepherds had a bad reputation. They were thought to be unreliable. They were certainly non-religious. The last people you would expect God to have anything to do with. And yet they're the very first ones to get the news of Jesus' birth. The angel appears and says, "I bring you good news of great joy." The shepherds, don't they, tell us that the Christmas story is for people just like us. Normal, ordinary folk. Not just for shepherds, but notice verse 10, for all the people. That means for you and for me. God breaking into our world. God coming to be with us in Jesus Christ. But coming for us. Whoever you are this morning, whether you're normally sat in a church or whether this is the first time you've ever stepped into a church building, know that God is interested in you. He knows you, and he wants to be known by you. He spoke to the shepherds that first Christmas morning, and if you prick up your ears, he wants to speak to you this Christmas morning as well. And that is true today, whether you would regard yourself as a good person or a bad person. Do you remember the song "Santa Claus is Coming to Town"? I'm not going to sing it for you this morning. I don't want to put you off your turkey. But let me just read you the lyrics to the song. "Oh, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why Santa Claus is coming to town. Oh, he's making a list and checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty or nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. Oh, he sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. So many of us, I think that God is a bit like Santa. He is focused on the good people, on those who've made the nice list, on those who've done their bit for others, on those who've given to charity over Christmas. But isn't the reality this morning, isn't the reality that all of us are on the naughty list? We all have a heart that is turned away from God and even from others. Even on a day like today, when we try our best to show love and goodwill to other people. I read a Christmas tweet this week that said the word Christmas comes from two words. It comes from Christ and massive family argument. Now, we might chuckle about that, but I guess to some extent we know that it's true. Our relationships with others, our relationship with God are not what they should be. And God knows it's true as well. He knows that we've been bad. He's under no illusions about us. But the message the angels sent is not, God knows just what we're like, and so he wants nothing to do with us. The wonderful good news of Christmas Day is that because God knows just what we're like, he came to send a rescuer for us. Listen to the angel's words in verse 11. Today in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. One of the teachers in the congregation set their pupils, in the final week before the end of term, set their pupils the task of writing persuasive letters to Father Christmas. She told me that one of the kids wrote this. He wrote asking for £700,000 from Father Christmas. He said that if Santa delivered, then this kid would repaint Santa's sleigh red for him. But the boy said that if Santa didn't come through, then the boy was also going to paint Santa's reindeer yellow. I wonder what you think your greatest need is today. £700,000? Well, perhaps not that much, but just a bit more money would be nice, wouldn't it? To feel more secure? To have a good time? To be happy? To enjoy yourself? To be more healthy? All of those things are important, all of those things are good, but they are symptoms of a deeper need that we have. One writer put it this way, if God had known our greatest need was financial, he would have sent a financial man. If he'd known our greatest need was entertainment, he would have sent us a comedian or an artist. If he'd known our greatest need was health, then he would have sent us a doctor. But he knew that our greatest need involved our sin, our alienation from him, our profound rebellion, our death. And so he sent us a saviour. And that is the good news of Christmas this morning, that Jesus, the baby laid in the manger, was a saviour. Not just somebody to give us a good example to follow all the year round. Not just someone to come and teach us a better way, but someone who would live the life that we should have lived and then die the death that we deserve to die. He was the one man born to die. The crib led to the cross 33 years later. He would deal with our sin, with our wrongdoing, by paying for it as he died at Calvary. He would deal with our alienation from God by being alienated from God himself. He would deal with the fact that death hangs over all of us by dying and then rising again. Jesus came to be every enemy that we face, sin and death. He came to defeat, to dethrone, and then ultimately to destroy those enemies. He came to put us right with God. He came to put us right with one another. And ultimately to put our whole world right as well. This Christmas morning, how should this news of a saviour affect us? Let me tell you a story about another guy called George. George worked for the post office and it was his job to process all the mail where you couldn't read the address. And one day, just before Christmas, a letter landed on his desk, and it was simply addressed in quite shaky handwriting, Dear God. Well, there was no further clue on the envelope, so George opened the letter and he began to read. This is what he read. Dear God, I'm a 93-year-old widow living on the state pension. Yesterday, somebody stole my purse. In the purse was £100. It was all the money I had in the world. And there's no more pension due until after Christmas. Next week is Christmas, and I've invited two of my friends along over for Christmas lunch. Without that money, I've got no food to buy with. No food I can buy. I have no family to turn to. You're my only hope. God, can you please help me? Well, George was really touched when he got that letter. And being a kind-hearted kind of guy, he put a copy of the letter up on the staff room notice board. Some of the other postmen saw it, and they were touched by it as well, and they all dug in their pockets. They had a whip round together, and between them, they raised £95. They got an official franked post office envelope. They put the money in, and they sent the cash off to the old lady. And for the rest of the day, all the workers felt a really warm glow about this nice thing they'd done. Well, Christmas came and went, and a few days later, another letter arrived, again, simply addressed to God. Well, George opened up the letter, and many of the postmen gathered round as they read the letter. And it read this: Dear God, how can I ever thank you enough for what you did for me? Because of your generosity, I was able to provide a lovely lunch for my friends. We had a very nice day. I told my friends all about this lovely gift. In fact, we haven't gotten over it. By the way, there was £5 missing. I think it must have been those thieving fellows at the post office who took it. Today we'll be grateful, won't we, for many of the good things we enjoy from God. Grateful for each other, grateful for presents, grateful for food, for games, for fun, for laughter. But we can still end up with ingratitude toward God if we fail to see that we can rejoice in the greatest gift of all given to us, the Lord Jesus himself. The angel says, I bring you good news of great joy. That is a joy that is beyond the smiling faces even of the children when they open their stockings this morning, or the delight when the Christmas pudding arrives at the table later with the brandy burning on the top. This is the joy of knowing that we have a Saviour, born to us, a Saviour who comes to ordinary people like us and restores us to God. Perhaps you're sat thinking this morning that if you knew my situation, there's not much joy in my situation today. I was listening to a service online yesterday. It was from one of my pastors back in Orlando, where we used to live. And 2 weeks ago, his son, his 37-year-old son, took his own life. This is what that minister's wife recently blogged, this week. Our son Isaac is safe in Jesus' arms. And because of Christmas, we are too. When Jesus was born, God was reaching through time and space, extending his compassionate reach beyond those who already see him face to face. When God gave us his son Jesus, he was extending his arms to include all of us on earth. My heart is full of gratitude for God with us. And that is the deep joy of Christmas. God comes to be with us. And one day to be with us forever, as we were thinking on Sunday. One day to dwell with us when the tears are stopped and the sorrow's gone. And it will be joy unspeakable and everlasting. Let me pray before we sing our final carol. The angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Lord, our prayer today is that in the midst of all the joys that we experience, that we will have those moments of quiet when we're able to reflect on the deepest joy of all, the good news that Jesus came to us, not just to speak good news, but to make good news, to be our Saviour and our Lord. And we pray that you'll sink those things deep into our hearts today, for the sake and to the praise of the Lord Jesus. Amen.